Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, Hour 3.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States. The phone number is 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I'm increasingly attuned to an issue that's not getting a lot of coverage, and I want to talk to you about it. One of the data points on inflation, on costs that are going up, one of the ones that's going up most significantly is insurance costs. Homeowners insurance, auto insurance, all sorts of insurance costs. Auto insurance in particular is going up, but homeowners insurance going up a lot as well. Why? The left. No, this isn't an easy cop-out. Just follow along with me here. One of the things that has happened in this country over the last number of years is the standards boards, particularly the National Transportation Safety Board and others that regulate automobiles and things like that, they've demanded a bunch of safety features in vehicles. And yes, it's made driving safer. But it's also driven up the costs of vehicles. Newer cars, they got to have the tire pressure sensors. They've got to have backup cameras. There are a long laundry list of requirements that price vehicles out of the market for a lot of poorer people. And it makes the cars harder to fix. But then there's the electric vehicle. More and more insurance companies are declaring total losses on electric vehicles when if it was a internal combustion engine vehicle, it would be fixable. Because electric vehicles are so much more technically difficult to fix, so much more costly, battery repairs and things like that, your insurance costs are going up because they're afraid you might get in a wreck with an electric vehicle and it's so costly to repair it. Now, I got to tell you, just as an aside, I have a neighbor, he's a cardiologist, and he collects sports cars. He's had a McLaren, he's had an Aston Martin, he just got a new McLaren. And his McLaren that he has is a couple $100,000 car. Used. He didn't buy it brand new. It doesn't have a lot of miles on it, but he bought it, and it is an extremely expensive multi-$100,000 car. The day he got it, when you come out of my neighborhood, there's now a road. It used to not be there, but there's a memory care facility. And the people at that memory care facility can come out and connect onto the road that gets out of my neighborhood because there's a stoplight there. Makes it easier for them. Otherwise, they got to try to cross traffic without a stoplight. So a lot of people do it. So some guy never saw my neighbor coming in his brand new day he got it, McLaren, ran the stop sign and T-bones him. Now, it's an older gentleman in a pickup truck, and he's not going super fast because he's just pulling out of this memory care facility, but he hits my neighbor's car. My neighbor's his first reaction was to be furious that somebody just hit him, but his second reaction was that I can't really, like, I see the humor in this person just lost their insurance. And he gets out of his car. He's able to get out of his car. And the man is extremely apologetic. It's an older gentleman who is extremely apologetic. And my neighbor says to him, says, buddy, you don't know what you've just done, but you've just lost your insurance. You're never going to be able to drive again, probably. And the man looks at him and his eyes get big. He says, what do you mean? And my neighbor says, do you know how much my car is? I just got it. And the guy says, buddy, I don't know. And my neighbor says, man, my car's over $200,000 and you've just wrecked it. And older man probably did lose his insurance. Probably did. I mean, the repair costs for a McLaren are insane. And that is a customized sports car. The problem is that a Tesla is not a customized sports car, and it is exceedingly expensive to fix a Tesla, and there's a very long wait when you do. Because EVs are way more expensive to fix, and your insurance costs are going up because of EVs. But it's not just that. Homeowner costs are going up as well around the country in different parts of the country. So, for example, there are a lot of houses in coastal parts of this country where people have just embraced the idea that because of weather, because of climate change, the weather cycles are going to be more violent and people are getting priced out of insurance. Now, that's not necessarily the case. You know, there were all these horror stories about insurance companies fleeing Florida. Florida has actually seen an increase in insurance companies coming into the state to insure people because Florida passed tort reform related to homeownership and other issues, and it passed some regulatory reforms, and people are coming in. Insurance companies are coming in. But a friend of mine sent me a story the other day, and I tried to find it. I read it at the time, and I can't go back through all my notes to try to find it. But essentially, there has not, contrary to what the media might tell you, there has not been an increase in catastrophic costs related to living along the coast. The amount of insurance claims have not skyrocketed living around the coast. You may think there are because of the way the media covers hurricanes and coastal events and things like that, but actually the number of claims has not skyrocketed due to weather. But if you listen to the media, they say, oh my gosh, all these people living in places where climate change is affecting them, and insurance companies are raising your rates because there's been so much coverage from the left claiming that these sorts of things were going to happen. They've been preemptive. They've gone on and jacked up rates. Never mind that claims haven't increased. All of this is because of the fear scenarios and scare scenarios of the left when it comes to climate, when it comes to pushing electric vehicles. They're driving up your insurance costs by design. And a lot of it has to do with, this is a backdoor way to control you. Now, let me just give you another example here, a side example here. I advertise for my bank, Old Glory Bank. The reason Old Glory Bank started was because progressives have started bullying banks and credit card companies to restrict your purchases. So, for example, there are some banks and credit unions in this country now that will not allow you to use your debit card from them at gun stores. So you want to go buy a gun. You go to your local gun store. You have your debit card. You don't believe in using credit cards. You have a debit card. And your bank sees it's coming through as a gun store, and they say they reject the purchase. Your card is declined, and you think it's fraud, and you call the bank or the credit union. They say, no, we're sorry. We don't support allowing you to move money out of your account to buy a gun. Perfectly within their rights to do so in their if their terms and conditions say as much. That's why Old Glory Bank, one of the many reasons it came about is because they're never going to do that to you. But this is beginning to happen around the country. And it is a reaction to left-wing agitators. And part of that reaction to left-wing agitators at this moment now is they're agitating for insurance companies to begin raising their rates to discourage people from coastal living, to discourage people from living in parts of the country where fires sometimes happen, to discourage people from living in parts of the country where there are tornadoes. They're trying to force you all into cities. Because if they can force you out of coastal areas and the tornado alley and out of fires, you're going to move closer to a city. where they can then bully you into using public transportation because they're also restricting the number of gas stations that can now be built in parts of the country. Yeah, did you know that? There are parts of the country, particularly in California, where no more gas stations are allowed to be built. It's one of the reasons gas prices are high. You know, they've grandfathered in gas stations. They won't build more gas stations, so there's less competition, less supply, increased demand, costs go up. They're exploiting the supply-demand curve. Now, they get to do this. They can do this. But you need to understand these are policy decisions being made. These are decisions being made at the think tank level of left-wing organizations that are spread out, disseminated to the activists to encourage costs to go up. Your costs for insurance for cars going up, your costs for insurance for homes going up, and it forces you to make life choices that you may not want to make because of the costs involved, affecting where you can live, what you can drive, where you can drive. It doesn't get enough attention, but it's very clearly a pattern that between government regulators who are leftists and left-wing organizations working with the private sector, they're trying to shape your decision-making processes. They're trying to drive up your costs in particular areas and decrease your costs in other areas to steer you into those decreased costs. So the problem, however, is that many of those decreased costs are actually based on tax credits that may go away. And if you're a poor person, you can't wait till next year's taxes to get your tax credit back. It's like light bulbs. They had to ban the incandescent light bulb. One of the great inventions of human history, the government has banned it. It's cheaper than an LED. It's cheaper than a fluorescent bulb that if you shatter it, you got to call a hazmat team because of the mercury in your house. But the left decided the incandescent light bulb needed to be banned because of global warming, because of power. And now they're pushing you towards energy usage that comes from solar and wind that may not exist on a rainy day or a windless day, and it's causing strain on the power grid. But they won't replace and supplement the power grid with nuclear power because they're trying to bake into the equation blackouts. They're trying to get you to get used to settling for less. Because the left has ultimately decided that the end game to save the planet is for you to be more sacrificial, for you to settle for less, for you to not advance. There's a guy, what's his name? Simon Still. He's the UN Climate Change Executive Secretary. He says we have 2 years to save the world now. Remember, it was 10 years. Now it's only 2 years. But what's more troubling about what this guy is saying in charge of UN climate is let me give you this quote from him. For those who say that climate change is only one of many priorities like ending poverty, ending hunger, ending pandemics, or improving education, I say this, none of these crucial tasks, indeed, none of the sustainable development goals set by the UN, will be possible unless we get the climate crisis under control. In other words, ending poverty must take a backseat to climate change. Ending hunger must take a backseat to climate change. Improving education must take a backseat to climate change. Everything must take a backseat to climate change. And if they can deploy punitive, costly measures to force you to give up your standard of living, to force you to compromise, to force you to give up, they're going to do it because they have embraced a cult of climate and they have decided that instead of adapting to a changing climate as mankind has done for millennia, no, now we must force you to give up your way of life to save a planet. That's why they're fine with transgenderism, because it amounts to a sterilization campaign. Right now they're driving up your insurance costs because it's forcing you to change your way of life. And to them, that's a good thing. Elections have consequences. Americans elected Joe Biden, who claimed he would bring back normalism and instead became beholden to a progressive left that wants to punish you in subtle ways to force you to change your way of life, to conform with their priorities, which are all about not saving humanity, but saving the climate. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, you know that works out to 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. Don't forget, by the way, if you text the word Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get all the relevant links to the TV show or to the radio show, including the top link is to my daily email, which you should be a paid subscriber to. You click that link, you can get all the show notes, my morning commentaries, the everything. If you click the top link, all you do is text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. Now, a buddy of mine sent me this clip. I totally forgot about this. More context on the O.J. Simpson trial is it came after Rodney King, where the LAPD had beat Rodney King. I believe the officers got off. And so there actually were jurors who were in the O.J. Simpson trial, murder trial, who after it was over were interviewed and said essentially, yes, he was guilty, but this was payback for Rodney King. It was remarkable how instead of having each thing stand on its own, it was essentially payback, treated as payback for what happened in the Rodney King situation by letting O.J. be guilty. There was a lot of DNA evidence that also tied O.J. Simpson to the crime, despite no eyewitnesses. Dude was totally guilty. And, you know, these days, a lot of the people who were insistent he was not guilty at the time are willing to. Dave Chappelle has a great bit about the five times he met O.J. Simpson. The one time O.J. Simpson wanted to get a picture with him, he's like, no, man, no, I don't want my picture with you. And at the end, he, like, walks off stage. The show's wrapped up. But then he comes back, and he's like, the fifth time I met O.J. Simpson. And he was like, dude was totally guilty. He totally did it. Totally did it. Yes, everybody knows he did it, but there was a lot of wink, wink, nod, nods at the time of people pretending like he wasn't doing it, in large part because some of those jurors decided to engage in jury nullification as payback to the judicial system and legal system for what happened with Rodney King. What a wild, wild historic ride to think about O.J. Simpson, but at least we can all go to sleep easy tonight knowing Nicole Brown Simpson's killer is dead. Now, we got to move on to other stuff. I will take your phone calls, 877-973-7425. Before I do, though, I got to tell you about Imprimis. You can get it for free. You never have paid a nickel. I've been a subscriber to Imprimis since I was in law school. It's a product of Hillsdale College. It is just stimulation for your intellect and mind. It comes out every month. And it contains either the transcripts of speeches or the writings of thoughtful conservative leaders in the country. Chris Rufo, Heather McDonald, Larry Arn, Victor Davis Hanson, so many more. I have not yet been an Imprimis, hint, hint. But you can subscribe by going to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, you subscribe to Imprimis. You get it every month, and you never pay a penny. Why? Because it's part of Hillsdale College's educational mission to educate not just the students on campus, but Americans who are willing to learn. And Imprimis opened your mind to the plethora of diversity of thought within the conservative movement. All of it is very good. I read mine every month. I have since law school. 20-some years ago now, I started subscribing to Imprimis. You can, too, completely for free. You never get charged for it. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Sign up with Hillsdale College today and start a great relationship with them, and you never pay a penny for Imprimis.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at TalkSpace.com.
I was looking at this story, and the Associated Press just pushed this out. This is U.S. Attorney in Los Angeles.
We are here to announce today the filing of a federal criminal complaint against Ipe Mizuhara, a person who until recently was employed as a translator for professional baseball player Shohei Ohtani. The federal complaint filed just a few minutes ago charges Mizuhara with bank fraud for allegedly stealing more than $16 million from Mr. Ohtani. According to the complaint, Mr. Mizuhara stole this money largely to finance his voracious appetite for illegal sports.
Illegal sports betting. This is a remarkable story, and there are a lot of people who are like, are we sure it's not Ohtani? So Shohei Ohtani is a famous Japanese baseball player who came to the United States. He was with the Angels. He brought this guy with him, Mizuhara. Mizuhara was an interpreter for the Nippon Ham Fighters of Japan's Nippon Professional Baseball League. Baseball is really big in Japan. And Ohtani was a star, setting all sorts of records. So he got recruited by Major League Baseball, came to the United States, was with the Angels, and then this massive deal with the Dodgers. Not only is his deal with the Dodgers massive, but he put off payment. He's essentially going to get paid for the rest of his life because he put off his big payments now on a $700 million deal so that the Dodgers could use money to recruit even more players to build an invincible team. Ohtani has had Mizuhara as his interpreter since he was in Japan. Had a relationship. Now, there are a lot of people who say, well, maybe he's covering, maybe he's falling on a sword, so to speak, for Ohtani. Here, the facts, as the FBI shows them, are that Mizuhara set up Ohtani's bank account, because Ohtani doesn't speak English, or at least he didn't at the time, doesn't read it. So Mizuhara set up Ohtani's bank account, did it online, had all of the login information, confessed to a bookie that he was getting his money from Ohtani. Ohtani didn't know, but he was going to pay him back once he won. He had a massive, massive appetite for gambling, sports betting, no less. And what the investigators found is that his winnings were put in his own bank account, and that on more than one occasion, he actually called the bank pretending to be Ohtani to justify wire transfers, approve wire transfers. And so it really does look like Ohtani is innocent here. I mean, maybe some evidence will come out otherwise. But the feds are saying, and the Dodgers are saying, everybody is saying that he was actually taken advantage of by this guy who could speak English. And the guy, they've got him admitting to at least one bookie that he was taking the money Ohtani didn't know, but he was going to pay him back once he won. So just a wild case. Poor guy being taken advantage of like that. Millions of dollars, if that's the case. Now, there are some people, you know how people are these days, though. They come up with their own story that really this guy's fallen on the sword and it was really Ohtani. They'll never be dissuaded otherwise, but doesn't look that way. Now, I have to move on to the dangerous situation, and it's one you need to be apprised of. Iran intends to attack Israel. That being said, there are signs today that Iran may be backing down from originally doing so. Here's what happened. This is Joe Biden making everything worse again. So Israel struck Iran's embassy in Damascus, killing people associated with Hamas and with Iran. Iran says it's going to respond and that if the United States gets involved, it will also attack the United States. Joe Biden is telling Iran, don't attack Israel, but if you do attack Israel, we had nothing to do with this. Don't attack us, which is just absurd. Joe Biden essentially signaling that, well, if you attack Israel, we're not going to do anything. The Americans under Joe Biden are just engaging in incremental. I got to read you actually a text message, a longtime friend of mine wrote me this morning. Let me just read you this, because I thought this is spot on. Every leader of the Democratic Party who's become president since Harry Truman has believed and believes in minimal escalation of military conflict. When invited to a knife fight, they willingly leave their guns behind. Listen to the Michael Beschloss, Lyndon B. Johnson audio series. McNamara and Johnson were terrified of China, all the while fighting China. This strategy costs us more deaths and a lot more casualties and destruction. Imagine if rather than worrying what Putin thought over a year ago, we promised every item to Ukraine that we're given them thus far. How is it we're only willing to send a memo? HIMARS tanks, anti-tank missiles, Patriot batteries, 155 howitzers, now F-16s, they were all unthinkable and escalate the war. It can be argued may have prevented the war and almost certainly would have shortened it, saving lives and infrastructure. They keep doing this incrementally, drip, drip, drip. It's so true. And this is Joe Biden, been in Washington for 50 years, been part of that Democratic thinking, and it's a drip, drip, drip. Incremental escalation, as opposed to going all in. When you're dealing with a bully, is it better to go tit for tat? Or is it better to just beat the hell out of the bully? What do you think is going to make the bully stop? Incremental, tit for tat, or just beat the snot out of him then and there? This friend of mine, who will go nameless because of the second text, actually makes a great point. The question for the president of the United States these days should be, if you had to do it over again, would you have dropped the second bomb on Japan? Your answer should be yes. Now, these days, because of revisionist historians and progressives who are appalled at American power and anti-colonialism and all that sort of stuff, the answer is no, and they're appalled, and Harry Truman should have never dropped the bomb, and there was no reason to drop a second bomb. There absolutely was a reason to drop a second bomb, and it had nothing to do with Japan and everything to do with everyone else. You dropped the second bomb not to induce a more rapid surrender from Japan, you dropped a second bomb to make sure Russia didn't take over and keep fighting us and turn on us. You used the second bomb example in Japan to make sure the whole world knew this was not an anomaly. We know how to build these things and advance these things. And yes, it absolutely did induce Japan to rapidly wind up the war and surrender far quicker than they would have. So you're killing multiple birds with a second stone. But Democrats these days uphold the idea of Harry Truman even dropping the first bomb. They revise World War II history to suggest it was unnecessary. They were going to surrender anyway. How many Americans would have died with a land invasion of Japan? Dropping both of those bombs stopped that possibility from happening and probably saved vastly more lives. But the Democrats don't get it anymore. Most of them never have. Joe Biden is certainly from that camp of the Democratic Party that has misread and gotten wrong foreign policy for 50 years. Joe Biden has been on the wrong side of every foreign policy issue in the United States. He's been on the wrong side of all of them. He's claimed somehow that he had unique experience in leadership, but, I mean, Barack Obama said, never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. Bob Gates, Barack Obama's Secretary of Defense, said Joe Biden's been on the wrong side of every issue. Remember, it was Joe Biden who did not want Barack Obama to go get Saddam, or to go get Osama bin Laden. It was Joe Biden who opposed the effort to take out Osama bin Laden. And now this incrementalism in the Middle East is probably going to get a whole lot more people killed as a result. Probably going to get a lot of people killed. Iran is going to attack Israel. It may not as aggressively attack as originally thought. Most people thought the attack was pretty imminent. Not only did people think the attack was pretty imminent, they actually have been bracing in Israel for an attack over the next 48 to 72 hours. probably not on Friday because that is the Sabbath for Muslim countries. But on Saturday, it would make a lot of sense because Muslims would not be celebrating the Sabbath, but Israel would. So it was the perfect day to attack. Maybe they won't now. Maybe they'll do it through some surreptitious means. But the situation is destabilized in the Middle East, and in large part, the situation is destabilized not because of what Israel has done, and not even because of what Iran has done, but because of what Joe Biden has done, sending a series of mixed signals and now appearing to fold on support of Israel in favor of supporting Hamas, a terrorist organization, because Joe Biden needs the votes of Democratic anti-Semites in November to beat Donald Trump. It is really remarkable the president of the United States is actively courting anti-Semites to win an election in November. Things are going badly for Joe Biden across the board. It's like, honestly, the reason he went on Univision. You know, he went on Univision and announced he's probably going to unilaterally crack down on illegal immigration. You know why he went on Univision? Because he's losing Hispanic voters, and he's losing Hispanic voters because of the issue of illegal immigration. Hispanic voters don't like it. Now there's a story in the Wall Street Journal today, headline, Biden loses support among black men. President Biden faces a dual-natured challenge to shore up his support with black Americans, one of the Democratic Party's most loyal constituencies. Perhaps the most urgent, more black men said they plan to back Donald Trump this fall, according to a recent Wall Street Journal poll of seven swing states. While most black men said they intend to support Biden, some 30% of them in the poll said they were either definitely or probably going to vote for the former Republican president. There isn't comparable Wall Street Journal swing state polling from 2020, but Trump received votes from 12% of black men nationwide that year, according to AP Votecast, a large poll of the electorate. In the Wall Street Journal poll, 11% of black women said they would either definitely or probably go to vote for Trump in 2020. Only 6% of black women nationwide back Trump. Did y'all see the video in Atlanta yesterday? Trump goes into a Chick-fil-A. The black women there love Donald Trump. They were shouting at him, "Don't believe the media. We love you." You know, this is why Joe Biden stopped the menthol cigarette ban. Because black Americans are more likely to smoke menthol cigarettes. They were going to ban menthol cigarettes. The FDA announced it in 2022. It's come to fruition. The regulations were out. And Joe Biden's White House said, whoa, guys, we can't do this. Wait until the election's over. Black voters who use menthol cigarettes, you need to understand, the moment Joe Biden wins re-election, your menthol cigarettes are getting banned. He doesn't actually care about you. He just needs your vote. He's going to lie to you right now. That's what he does. We have a situation in the Middle East. You know, so it's been a slow news week, I got to admit. So one of the things I actually want to do tomorrow, since I was gone all last week, I actually want to kind of review all of these different things and talk about all the problems that are going on in the world right now, in large part because of Joe Biden and the domestic policy issues as well. And I want to spend some time with you, assuming there's no big breaking news tomorrow. Like, we got thrown off out of the gate today with OJ dying as breaking news out of the gate. But assuming there's nothing big that happens, I actually want to spend time with you guys tomorrow and kind of go for a walk through the historic landscape right now of stuff that's going on, all because of Joe Biden's failures to act decisively and Joe Biden's needs to be led by polling to cobble together a coalition. Because domestically and internationally, things are going south on us all because Joe Biden is desperate to get ahead in the polls. Instead of leading and using the bully pulpit to articulate to Americans, I mean, Joe Biden, forget his stuttering. He's at war with English language and truth the whole time anyway. And he can't lead and he can't articulate a vision for the country, not because he stutters, but because he's got dementia. He's led around by progressives who have a vision that is actually America last, not America first. And it's spilling out all over the place. And it's affecting every constituency of the Democratic Party. The only people who want to vote for Joe Biden at this point are rich white people with advanced degrees. Everybody else has common sense, and they're moving away from him. I want to move you to Vision Computers. Listen, they can build you a laptop or a desktop and save you money instead of going to the big box store. Or you get online, you go to one of the websites, you don't know what the heck you're even looking at. So it's a CPU, GPU, RAM, how much do I need, all that. If you call Vision Computers and Ask them for the Eric Erickson Special. They can give you a deal. They can build you a computer. Any one of you listening in the United States of America, they can build you what you want, what you need. They talk to you, try to find out what you're doing with it. What is your long-term plan for this computer? Because you don't want to buy one that's obsolete in a year. They'll work with you. And then you get a number where you can call them anytime you have a problem, and they answer your questions. Then they give you fixes. They can even remote in and work on your computer for you from remote, so you don't have to carry your computer in anytime you want something done. They help you with email support, printer support, you name it. They can help you. And if you're a business, for just $179 a year, not a month, but a year, $179 a year, Vision can help offload your IT support or supplement it if you don't have an IT guy, so all of your employees get their phone number and can call them if they have a problem, like how do I get my email set up, or my printer's not working, or I got this error on my computer screen. I don't know what it means. So they can be really proficient at their jobs and let Vision be proficient at computing. VisionComputers.com or 404Compute. Call them at 404Compute. Ask about the Eric Erickson Special. You're going to get an even better deal. 404Compute, VisionComputers.com. Let them be your tech support solution. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson. Glad to have you with me. I don't know about the phone situation tomorrow when you're listening. It depends on the setup in Augusta. I'm going to be doing my show from Augusta near the near Augusta National Golf Club. I got to leave, and I'll go over in the morning, watch the golf, leave my kid with my agent, go do the show, and then go back. So should be a fun day. Assuming there's no big breaking news or something, it's going to be an interesting setup. In any event, I'm looking forward to it. And then I ordered the Masters catering pack this weekend because, you know, I have the guys come over on Sunday night for bourbon cigars, and while the Masters may be over by the time they get there, we're going to have the egg salad and the pimento cheese and the barbecue and stuff. Should be fun. Now, at the end, I want to circle back to something that I am very concerned with because I see it happen all the time. You know, a lot of Republican leaders claim to be pro-life until push comes to shove, and then they throw pro-lifers under the bus. We become the scapegoat for the party. And, of course, the media piles on because the media is actually in the death cult. They're completely pro-abortion. Time and time again, good pro-lifers win when the fringy candidates lose because the good pro-lifers didn't know how to navigate the system. Donald Trump has angered pro-lifers in the last week by deciding to Solomonistically split the baby and say every state should have its own abortion position. And that, in theory, sounds real good. It's actually what the pro-life movement claimed it wanted. The get rid of Roe v. Wade, it goes back to the states. It's never been a federal issue. It shouldn't be. And now suddenly they're like, no, 15-week national abortion ban. The problem with that, though, is there are abolitionists within the pro-life movement who say absolutely not. No compromise. No abortion whatsoever. That's never going to pass. I don't think a 15-week ban is going to pass in Congress. This was Nikki Haley's point on the debate stage that drew her the wrath of the pro-life movement. You're going to have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, or at least find some reasonable Democrats to go along with you. Good luck with that to get this through the Senate. Otherwise, it is going to be a state-level issue. And if it's a state-level issue, I think the GOP, from a political standpoint, forget the moral standpoint, all that, from a political standpoint, would be smart to go with the Glenn Youngkin route of 15-week ban with exceptions, neutralize the issue in Virginia. Democrats can say, well, they still lost. Yeah, but they didn't lose because of abortion, and everybody knows it, which is why it's not been big headline since then. The GOP needs to find a path forward, but it is not a path by blaming pro-lifers for defeat because it's not their fault.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.